listening to Tao Yulaya in the studio with me as always. And remember, it's always an interesting time out here. You get to meet our guest soon. Good morning, Tao. How are you?
Good morning, Bukola. How was your weekend, your decision-making weekend?
Well, I made my decision.
Okay.
Waiting for the outcome.
I hope it was peaceful in your area.
It was peaceful. It was peaceful. I even sat down, I waited and made sure the vote was counted.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Mm-hmm. My name remains Taiwo Yewole. This is Business Half Hour, brought to you by Naira Metrics. It's a beautiful Monday today. I think the atmosphere is a bit tense. Traffic was unusually heavy, at least on Third Mainland Bridge this morning.
Really? It's Mondays is not unusual. It's regular Monday.
This was different.
It was extra.
Oh, yes, it was extra this morning for some reason. Good morning, Lagos, once again. Yes, I am here with...
Good morning, Lagos. Good morning, Nigeria. My name is Uche Unyegide. I'm a consultant with Drudge Consulting. We are an accounting firm who majors in taxes. We consult for clients and we also consult for the government. My office is located at 17B, the Silver Street off Admiralty Way in Lekki, Lekki Phase 1. We've been around for about 5 years now, and we have a staff strength of over 50.
That's it. Okay, brilliant. Thanks. So we'll be having an interesting time with Uche this morning. Let's go straight into it and talk about CAMA, the Company and Allied Matters Act.
All right.
Am I correct?
Yes, yes. Everything.
You want to tell us what CAMA is? A bit brief history about CAMA. We know that sometime last year, some changes were made to it to help with the ease of doing business and to improve our ranking globally.
Yeah.
As one of the companies where, one of the countries where it's easier to do business. Right now, we're down the ladder. I'm not sure what number we are right now.
146.
Okay. 146. But Rwanda is second in Africa, and I think what? 11th or 12th or so in the world.
Yeah, around that.
But Nigeria is 146 in that. So we'll talk a bit about that as well this morning. And pretty much what happened when a lot of organizations woke up one morning and found that their accounts were in lien and they'd been debited huge sums of money.
Okay, so straight up to the CAMA. Now, like you said, CAMA means Companies and Allied Matters Act. Now, it is presently Companies and Allied Matters Act of 2004, but it was originally called Companies Act of 1968. Then in 1990, it was called Companies and Allied Matters Decree of 1990.
To reflect the military era then?
Yes. Okay. The interesting thing is, since 2004 to date, there have been no major changes to the CAMA. We've just had, I think, one or two amendments. So the act has not exactly aligned with the global practice. So businesses have been affected. Now, it is actually very important because the act is a very key legislation that affects doing business in Nigeria. Now, the ease of doing business and ranking was released sometime last year, put us at 146 in the world. Now, what...
But we did move up that index, didn't we? Because I remember the IBES sent out a report.
Yeah, sometime
last year. We moved up a few notches.
Yeah, we were 170.
Okay, we moved up to about
145.
Yeah, so we moved up to about 25
notches. Again.
By one point.
Go on. Yeah, so there have been several calls from different quarters to amend the act or actually repeal the act and promulgate a new one. But all of this, will I say fail on that? Yes, until sometime around last year when the Senate actually passed a bill with major changes to the Companies and Allied Matters Act. Now, earlier this year, the House of Representatives also passed the same bill to the President. So the bill is currently the seat of the presidency. And we've been waiting for elections to basically just, you know, come to a close. So
thank God they're over right now. So we can get back to work, Abi.
We can get back to work.
Brilliant.
A lot of businesses are hanging on this, you know. Let's see how.
Let's see who wins. Let's see what happens.
Exactly. So that's basically the history of the act. Now, the interesting thing about this act is there have been major changes to the act. Now, before now...
You're saying the most significant major changes or major changes since 2004?
Since 2004.
This is what, 15 years after?
It passed into law, yes.
It passed into law.
Over 20 years, actually.
Okay.
Sorry, 15 years, sorry.
15 years.
15 years.
Okay, yes. Because when you said 20 years, I'm like, okay. Yeah,
go on. Yeah, so the interesting thing about this act is, before now, the act was tailored to suit just big companies. So the SMEs were affected majorly.
So when you say big companies, can you tell us a bit about them?
Okay, so a small company is a company with a turnover of just over 1 million, over 10 million, and a net asset of just over 2 million. So any other company, any company that exceeds a turnover of 2 million in a year, and 10 million for turnover and 2 million for net assets is classified as a big company. Not big company per se, but you're not a small company.
You're not a small company.
Yeah. So small companies are
companies people who do less than that, sub that.
Less, 10 million or less for turnover, then for net assets, 2 million or less.
So are those the only two classifications we have?
Yeah, those are like the striking
but there are a bit,
classifications.
Some,
yeah, some other
subs in between.
Yes, but those are like the striking classifications.
Okay, sorry, go on. So
yeah, so the act was tailored to favor just these companies, like companies that are in this category. But with these provisions that have been made, there will be a lot of changes that will actually help small companies into play. Some of them are single member companies. Before now in Nigeria, one person cannot set up a company in Nigeria. We need the minimum of two, shareholders. But now with these new provisions, for the first time, a single person will be able to form a company in Nigeria. Now, this is actually coming quite late because companies like India, Singapore, the UK, many other companies in the world have keyed into this single member companies for a long time, but Nigeria is just coming into.
But how is that different from sole proprietorship or business in registration?
Okay, yeah, in sole proprietorship, you don't need to register your business as a limited liability company. All you have to do is register your business as a business enterprise.
Okay.
And you can just start running the business. But with this, you are registering your business as a company, limited liability company, but you don't need two shareholders to do that anymore. Just one person can do it.
Okay. So lowering the barrier to entry as well.
Exactly. Making it easier for. Then exemption from audits. As a company in Nigeria, you get to have statutory audits every year. So this has been an issue for small companies because most of them can afford external auditors. So because of that, there are a lot of restrictions like external auditing, and imagine hiring one of these multinational companies, like the big four companies, to audit your books. They pay a lot of money, and most of these companies need money for capital, so they don't have this amount of money to hire auditors. Then you also have a company secretary. One of the regulations was that you must have a company secretary also. Company secretaries are also very expensive to get because they are qualified legal practitioners. So all of these were things that restricted small businesses from coming into play. Then annual general meetings. The provision, the new changes to the CAMA will also allow for small companies, SMEs basically, to run their business without having an AGM every year.
But what about things like keeping your books and so on? And I mean, your financial, your financials.
Yeah.
Who helps with that? You know, so I mean, I imagine you still have to fax your TAL returns.
Exactly. We'll get to that. I'll talk about that on the implications.
Okay.
Of this. I'm still talking about changes. Basically for now. Then e-registration is also one of the things that were made possible with the new bill. You can register your business online, unlike the previous method where you have to fill different forms, take it to the CAC in Lagos or Abuja, and so just a very tedious process. Then another change that will be made to the CAMA is limited liability partnerships. Now this is a new form of entity in Nigeria. Now before now we had limited liability companies, but public limited liability companies and just normal limited liability companies. But now we're going to have limited liability partnerships. Now the difference in this is unlike a partnership business where all partners have joint and several liabilities. What it means is if you and I come together and set up a business, if something happens to either of us or we decide to withdraw from the business, most times the business dies. So we both have unlimited liability to the amount of money we've gotten to the business, and the company is not separate from the owners. But with this new form of partnership business, limited liability partnership, you and I are separate from the business. So even if I leave tomorrow or something unfortunate happens to me, the business still stands. So it's a new form of entity.
So it's a standalone entity.
Yes, yeah,
it's recognized entity by law.
Partners have a direct say in the management of the business. You know, the difference in this is in the corporation, for example, in the company, the shareholders don't have direct say.
They don't necessarily have to be managed by management.
Directors hire an MD and all of that. But with this, we can contribute to the business, take an active participation in the management of the business, but the business is still separate from us.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, so those are just like the basic summaries of the provisions to the Act. Now, what does this do? What is the what are the benefits of these provisions? It's easiest doing business in Nigeria. Now, one of the criteria for the world business, the world ease of doing business
index.
Yeah, is the relative ease of setting up a business and running the business in the country. So if the provisions we had in our Act has been quite strict on who can come into, who can run a business, who can register a business, who can maintain a business, then it means we're going to have restrictions. Most for example, foreign direct investments, companies who want to come into the Nigerian scene and set up.
But the new Act, does it cater to that? Because I was going to ask you. So I know there was back in the 70s, there was an indigenization decree, you know, that localized a lot of firms, you know, yeah, just turned them to like public assets and so on and so forth. And then we moved on from there. We've seen a lot of big organizations come into the country. I mean, we don't have to start mentioning names, but yeah, large organizations have come into the country as well. But the new provisions, what does it say about that? So what's the ratio of ownership? Do they have to have a local partner to be able to set up a firm? I know some countries don't really care. You can come and own the company 100%,
yeah,
in as much as you operate it within their country, using certain parameters.
Yeah.
So what do our own provisions say, the new amendments, what do they say about that?
This amendment doesn't speak to that. I think you'll find that in the Code of Corporate Governance, the Corporate Governance Code. So I'm not exactly sure as to how many Nigerian local directors you need to have. I think there's a particular ratio, maybe one or two. In as much as you want to bring in 100%, I think you need to have one or two. I'm not so sure about that.
Okay. All right. We can look that up. Our local businesses, let's focus on that.
Okay.
I know also sometime late last year, there was this price reduction in business registration or something or stuff from. They dropped it down to about 5,000 naira or so, which they extended from what was supposed to end, I think it was in February or January, then extended till, I think, May, April or May, or thereabout, yeah, there. But are they the fallout of this provision, or they're pre?
They are all, they work hand in hand, actually. They okay. were, all of these are somewhat in the provisions. I think the first time it was passed was around May.
Okay.
So I think that came in.
Those are some of the initial steps that were taken.
Steps, exactly.
To ensure that
registration of businesses online are also part of the provisions of the bill. So I'm sure that numbers are falling under that category.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're talking about some of the benefits. The
impacts of what these provisions of the bill are going to affect. Like I said, it ensures a more business friendly environment. Now, most of these multinational companies don't like to register businesses in Nigeria as a limited liability company. Mm-hmm. So most of them set it up as a partnership business. For reasons best known to them, I think for ease of, in case...
Exit, so they can pull their money out.
Exit, in case there's a regulation that comes from above tomorrow and says, hey, we don't want you anymore. So
they have their shoulder, they just live with whatever they came with. Everybody live with what we call their portfolio investors.
Exactly.
They can shut down the company in one night.
Exactly.
The following morning, they don't exist in your country anymore.
Would you say that the environment isn't friendly for investors and also for anybody starting out a business? Do you think the policies are not friendly? Would you say that? Because that is what you get to hear a lot of times. It's harsh.
No, I wouldn't say that, actually. To a very large extent, I think it is friendly.
Mm.
But it can be better. Because there are still quite a number of restrictions that are not obtainable in other countries. So to a very large extent, it can be better.
So I guess people complain because they don't have loopholes maybe to sort of take advantage of the system. Is that why they complain?
Maybe.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I'm 100%. It's just that the world changes, the global business landscape changes on a regular basis. People want more. So these days if we talk about 10 years ago, things like social media weren't as prevalent. You had a lot of companies struggling to be able to accept social media as a tool, as a means or platform, channel for marketing in itself. And now they've accepted it and everybody's trying to make, they're trying to move on to whatever sense or what the next phase would be in that sense. So it's the same thing with doing business. Things change on a regular basis. You look at the commodities and the things that drive global trade in itself. Once those things move left, right, and center, so for example, let's look at the crude oil prices now. I think last year one country removed themselves from OPEC, or something like that there, And some other countries are considering it as well. Look at things like Brexit, the implications that it has on doing business globally. So as opposed to having an agreement with just the EU, you now have to consider Great Britain or England as a separate, standalone and start working out your bilateral trade agreements with them. So you have manufacturing companies who are leaving the UK because of Brexit, and looking for other markets where they'll be better accepted. So those are the considerations and those are the things that drive. It's just, to be honest, it's just, reacting to what the market wants, to be honest. Okay, sure. And we have a much younger audience, They don't like going into CAC to go and register. I mean, how many years ago, in 2005 or so, it would cost you maybe, if you had used somebody or gone through somebody, 7.5 or so to register. Now that's going through somebody. It wasn't that expensive, but you needed to go through somebody to make it easier for you. But nowadays, you can do it online. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a lot better now. All right, we'll take a break on Business Half Hour. We'll be right back on Classic FM 97.3. Yes, you gotta have money, but at the same time, you need self-control. Mighty Naira. That was from Orges, but they were saying Mighty Dollars, but it's Mighty Naira here.
Localize it.
All right, let's go on.
We're still back. Business Half Hour powered by Naira Metrics. Still having a chat with Uche here. And we've been talking a bit about the benefits of the reforms that have been signed by the Senate and then most recently, the House of Representatives. But let me ask, what happened? So some companies woke up one morning and it was mayhem. The banks had frozen their accounts. Can you just walk us through that? What's backstory behind that?
Okay, so what happened was the FIRS, the Federal Inland Revenue Service, appointed the banks to act as agents of taxpayers. Now, the reason why they did this is because they, from their records, they saw that they were quite a number of companies who were owing large amounts of money in taxes and have not remitted the same to the government. So what they did is, now this section 49 of the comma and of CETA, actually Companies Income Tax Act, and section 31 of the FIRS Establishment Act enables the FIRS to appoint agents to act on behalf of taxpayers. Now what these agents are expected to do is, once it is established that these taxpayers have defaulted and have not remitted their taxes to the government, they are to take whatever amount of money is in their custody and pay on their behalf.
But the banks were the agents in this instance?
Yeah, the banks were the agents in this instance. The FIRS used the banks as agents. So what the FIRS told the banks to do was put a lien on this account, stop any mandates from these companies. To the extent that companies just woke up one morning and the banks refused to honor their mandates, companies could not pay salaries because there was a lien on their account. So there was an uproar. Companies ran to their FIRS offices and what's going on. Now, the issue here is a large number of people believe the FIRS should not have acted in this regard.
Yes, people believe that the banks don't have the right to do that.
Exactly. To an extent, they're right. What the FIRS can do is, if they have established that these companies are actually owing. Now, to do this, you send an assessment to the company. You give them 30 days to object. Now, if the company does not object in 30 days, that assessment becomes final and conclusive. So you can take whatever means possible within your powers to get these monies out of them, which is the use of agents to put a lien on the accounts, remit on their behalf. And all
did FIRS wait 30 days?
FIRS gave this agent 7 days. Just 7 days.
But So
there's a conflict.
Yes, but the question is, did FIRS give the taxpayers, the organizations themselves, did they give them the 30-day notice?
That's the thing. They didn't give them. They didn't even contact the taxpayers. There was the agents. They just gave strict instructions.
So they just gave instructions to their agents.
To the agents. In 7 days, if this company has not remitted, put a lien on their account and even go to the extent of remitting on their behalf to us. So there's a conflict in what is in the act and what the FRS has done.
So how do you now deal with such a matter?
Well, the way it has been dealt with so far is, okay, before election, some 30 days back, the FRS saw that there were so many companies coming. In fact, FRS offices could not close because companies were coming to complain. I mean, they couldn't pay salaries. They couldn't
do a lot of things. Businesses were affected. Suppliers were affected.
Exactly. So FRS offices were on shutdown. They were complaining. So because of that, they had to lift the lien for 30 days. So as we speak, there's a temporary
suspension
of that lien.
Okay.
So companies have...
They're going in to negotiate.
But
then, well, I think they deserved better information ahead before doing what was done to them.
Yeah, they deserved
it. I think FIRS needs to look at that kind of policy. You could just kind of throw things on people. They already have their expenses. They have things they need to do. I can't just come out of the blues to say it's only if there had been some communication earlier on, which wasn't apparently...
I agree 100%. But again... question I would ask is this, you know, the way we are in this country, if they hadn't done that, would a lot of people have taken it as seriously?
That's the truth. They won't take it seriously because sometime last year, the FIS introduced a scheme.
Where it says declare voluntary assets, and you won't be penalized for anything.
Penalized, no interest, no penalties. A lot of companies capitalize on this, but some companies
still failed, they didn't.
Let me stay back. They probably won't catch me.
All right. So it was some sort of...
So it was a wake-up call. I mean, eventually, I think they suspected that they were going to lift it. The pressure was too much. A lot of suppliers, I mean, I was affected. One of my clients could, I mean, they were just running helter-skelter. And, I mean, because at some point I was like, how much money are you supposed to pay me in that yet? And,
it's,
you know,
taking so long.
They didn't tell me, but I put two and two together because I saw that the MD was running up and down, left, right, and center, trying to get things, you know, up and running there. But So they did that. There's a 30-day bandit. And the FRS has actually, I mean, they've done well in terms of the amount of taxes that they put.
Yeah, they set a new record last year, 5.3 trillion naira tax revenue. Tax payout base also increased. So.
Yes, but for the small businesses again, now, this is where it is. What are the tips? What are the things you can tell them very quickly in terms of how to go about remitting their taxes? What are the options? Can they do it online? Do they have to go physically to a tax office? How can they do it themselves? You know, what kind of tax bracket do they fall into? I know there's a 32% corporation tax on corporations generally. Do they fall into that bracket? Is there a tax holiday for companies that just started within, if say they're not up to 4 years old, for example? If they're not making profits, there are a lot of questions that people want to ask.
Okay, yeah. So for small companies or new companies, like you said, there's a tax holiday of 3 to 5 years for companies in a particular list of industries. So you have it's called a tax holiday, tax incentives. So you register with the NIPC, get a pioneer certificate. So that exempts you from paying income taxes for 3 years, extendable to 5 years. Now,
I hope they won't backdate it.
No, it's not backdated.
Okay.
Once the 3 years elapses, then you can. The 3 to 5 years is for you to recover your cost, whatever capital you've invested into.
Okay.
Because businesses like that are usually capital intensive. That's the idea behind tax holiday. There's also what you call minimum tax. Minimum tax is for companies that are not, you know, their turnover is not so large and they are not making a profit. So you cannot pay 30% on a loss, for example. So there's a minimum tax. There's a way it's calculated and you remit. That's the government.
Okay. So those are the options. How do they remit? Do they have
remitting? You can do that online. You don't have to walk to a tax office. FRS, there is this platform, the iTax platform. You can do your CIT filing online. You can do your VAT, your withholding tax, basically everything. You can get your tax clearance certificate online. You can do everything online.
Is VAT... To get a VAT number, tax identification number, is free?
Yeah, it's free.
What about the VAT license? The VAT, they're not the same. You need a VAT number to be able to charge VAT. Some companies have requested, they request for it.
Your TIN number.
That's all you need?
That's all you need.
Okay, because I know that I've been asked to provide a VAT number separately.
Once you register for TIN, there's this other number that comes together.
Okay. There's also an argument that as a sole proprietorship, you do not have a VAT number. You're not entitled to a VAT number.
No, that's not true. Once you, even business enterprises, business entities, you're not a limited liability company, you're yeah. just a business enterprise, you should remit VAT, because VAT is a transactional tax.
Yes.
It means on, it's like a sales tax. So it doesn't, you don't have to be a company.
I have a friend who was told that, but I don't know, I can't remember who was it that he told, because I know there was something we were supposed to do together and where to use his company and all of that there, but it was a limited liability, a business enterprise. And he had been asked for his VAT, and then he went back to inquire. He did have a TIN, but they said, look, you don't need to do that. Once you have, what do you call it, all you need is a TIN, and the VAT numbers are not issued to business enterprises.
Yeah, with that thing, that's what I'm saying. With that thing, you can pay VAT, you can remit VAT. That's all you need. You don't really need a specific number. Your thing, your TIN covers.
But how does a business enterprise also file? Because there are a lot of companies that fall into the business enterprise.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think about 80-something% of the Nigerian...
So how do they file? How do they file their taxes? Is it based on the personal income tax of the... Of
a business,
the
exactly. A business entity, the owner remits tax to... Okay, your tax is being calculated on your income as the owner of the business. So you remit that as
pay tax.
Personal income tax to
and that's the all.
State Board of
Internal. To the State Board of Internal.
Yes, no CIT. In this case, no company income tax.
Okay.
You're not a company.
All right, okay. Patrick, you can remit here.
VAT and withholding tax.
Okay. He says, nice conversation with your guest. Please, it's important for firm to be audited as this brings true and fair view to its financial, but expecting it will create a lot of suspicion and other matters surrounding the management and shareholder fund and investment.
I agree with him. I mean, I was going to come to that in the implications of these provisions. Now, because businesses need confidence, investors need confidence. So if you are saying, I can register, I can set up a company, just myself alone, just one shareholder. Now, there's this fear that I'm going to maneuver my books. I'm going to cook my books. So how do investors, because the first thing you want to look at, even as a bank, you want to give me a loan facility. As an investor, you want to invest in my business. The first thing you look at are my books, my accounts. And what gives you this confidence is the fact that an external party has audited these books and has said, okay, these books, these accounts are free of errors and material misstatements. So if I am the only one there, I'm the only shareholder there, it's a company, quite right. How am I, what's that certainty?
My answer to that is, I mean, there are a lot of organizations that will not do business with a company who doesn't have a certain level of, what do you want to call it now? Pedigree, quote unquote. So they look at your board of directors. They look at, there's a lot of questions that they ask and a lot of things that they ask. And once they see, they say, oh, no, we can't do this person. Say, so they might not be able to get certain levels of contracts, you know. It becomes questionable when you find out that it's only a one man company that is getting certain. So you say one man company gets the contract to TAR or to fix Lagos to Ibadan Expressway, for example. It's almost impossible, you know. I don't know where. You know, because one of the provisions also is to have the what PENCOM license to work with government. So exactly. It sort of restricts. There's a way, I think. I don't know, but I'm just saying.
There's also the issue of when you graduate from a small company to a big company, per se, and you now have to hire an auditor. The auditor now has to audit your books from the very moment you constituted your business. So.
Okay, so from the, you have to start, it's like you're starting afresh.
Starting afresh.
Okay, quickly before we go on the show, NECA is asking, are pharmaceutical products VATable? If yes, what's the rate? Thanks.
Pharmaceutical products are VAT exempt. They're not VATable.
Oh, they're not VATable.
So we can say the rate is 0%.
All right, so NECA, I'm sure you're satisfied with your answer there. Okay, time sure flies.
Thank you, Bukola. Thank you, Uche, for having... I mean, we could go on and on about tax.
Yeah. Quite interesting.
Yes, it is. It always sounds boring at first, but then it turns out to be very interesting.
A lot of times, people tend to jump at tax, and it's very key to the development of any economy, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, that's the only way you can hold the government accountable. You say, look, I pay taxes, no matter how small it is, so you owe me this X, Y, and Z.